Good day, everyone. It's Avalon.
And Edward.
And this is
Life.
Well, we have a couple special guests with us today. We have Georgia from Florida.
Hey, everybody.
And we have Kidvid.
Me again.
And we have some fun topic today, as we always like to mix it up and not always be serious. This is our fun topic, arts and crafts. Get ready. We have our young arts and crafter and our professional arts and crafter.
And see if there's any shared interests, or do they vary? Or is arts and crafts just a government conspiracy to keep us busy at times? We will explore these options today, and we'll let you make your own decision.
Get ready. Grab your crayons and your pencils.
And your scissors. Hold them the right way.
And let's talk crafting. Georgia, you are a professional crafter. What type of crafts do you do?
I do a little bit of everything. Knitting, quilting, stuff with resin.
What's one of the things that you find that you like to do the best?
I like to knit better than anything. It's relaxing. You can do it in front of the TV. You can take it with you.
Now, is this something that you picked up from family, or it was something handed down, or is this something you just picked up on your own?
Actually, family. My great uncle taught me how to knit.
That's very cool.
He had broke his back, and to make money, he taught himself how to knit, and he made ponchos, capes, gloves, hats, and he sold them.
And Kidvid, what are some of the crafts that you like to do?
Coloring and drawing.
Do you like making things?
Yeah, kind of.
And what things do you like to make?
Paper planes.
Paper planes. Okay.
Do you like glue?
Yeah.
So as a professional crafter, talking to a young child, Kidvid here, what kind of things would you inspire him to do in crafting and art?
I think that drawing.
Georgia, being the more professional when it comes to arts and crafts, are there certain arts or crafts that you see that are being forgotten or just being left behind in time that you'd like to see a younger generation like Kidvid pick up and to start taking on?
You know, I can remember my grandpa whittling, and he would whittle toys and things like that. You never see even adult doing that anymore. That'd be really cool if the kids could learn to pick that up and whittle. You know what whittling is?
Yeah.
So is that something you think would be fun to do?
Probably.
Getting a big slab of wood and a little pocket knife and whittling away for days and days to make a
toy train.
Exactly, toy train, or make toy soldier, anything, right?
Start with a bar of soap, and I taught my son to do it that way.
I think like paintings are good.
Like
painting, no, just paintings. Like paintings, like an art museum.
Well, you've got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, so I mean, clothing counts as art too.
When you say arts and crafts, at some point in the 1400s, 1300s, whenever these painters and sculptors were around, it was a hobby for them in the beginning. It was something of interest. And only at that point of doing it and finding a pure passion and love for it, did it become more than just a hobby. It became a passion, it became a dream, it became a life's work. So with every hobby, you have the potential for a life's work, correct?
Yeah.
I know one thing that comes from the region that I grew up in is quilting. And the quilts tell a story. They're not just a blanket to throw on the bed to keep you warm at night. Every piece of fabric, every stitch, tells a story. So that's a hobby. It's also a way to pass down history of your family or your area to the next generation.
I think there's a difference between crafting and arts. I'm a crafter. I'm not an artist. Crafting, you don't have to have that big talent to be able to do it. A craft is something that you can teach to just about anybody. You know, knitting, for example, which is one of the ones I love to do. Anyone can learn to knit. An artist, they have to have that talent and then learn to grow it. To me, there's a big difference between an artist and a crafter.
What about you, Kidvid? Is there a difference between an artist and a crafter?
Yeah, I mean, being an artist is, like Georgia said, you have to have a talent to do that. It's really hard to paint and stuff, like draw and, like, craft. Like you were talking about, crafting and history go together. Thousands of years ago, everything was art, really.
Right, to even design something like a chair was a craftsman in craftsmanship.
Yeah. Right, a trade.
Yeah, history and art go together because when knights and castles were there, swords were being made and they're crafting. They try to get what metal you want, what kind of a handle you want, painting the shield. Way before that, there was cavemen. They painted with anything, really. It's just like hieroglyphics. They painted with their banana, strawberries, and any kind of dye they could make.
And fruits and plants.
Yeah, and history goes with making cannons and making shields and making stuff for that. Like, making like a RV or a car is craft, and painting it is art. So making a vehicle is arts and crafts too. Making cups is arts and crafts. Making computers are arts and crafts because you have to paint each button and paint the computer, and you have to try to craft it. You have to craft plugs, you have to craft phones, you have to craft anything. Paintings come out so good when they're done.
This is the fun part of being where you're teaching kids a craft, is because they're using their imagination. And even with Play-Doh, you give them Play-Doh and you set with them and they're crafting, they're doing a craft, they're building something with Play-Doh, but the little imagination kicks off and look where it goes.
Exactly, look where it goes. That's yeah. What leads to the next invention.
Right.
To the next discovery is the imagination of children.
Right. Yeah, but like painting, art, like there's people that paint pancake. There's pancake art. Yes. You can do it and it comes out so well when you're done, but it's hard to do it.
It tastes good too.
Yeah, definitely tastes good. Yeah.
Well, the one thing I've always said, and Avalon can attest to this, is I'm a believer that when it comes to an arts and craft type situation, I don't believe in grading those. Arts and crafts to me are your creation, your own personal concept of something. Be it, this is my concept of weaving a blanket, to this is my concept of painting a fruit scene in a bowl. It's your viewpoint, it's the way you are envisioning the world at that moment. Who's to say it's right or wrong? Mm-hmm. Now, yes, if you're crafting a blanket, it should be able to cover you up and keep you warm, I guess. But at the same time, if you're crafting the blanket, are you crafting it to make it as a workable product, or are you crafting it to tell a story, like I was saying with the quilts? Right. But then, no matter which it is, in my viewpoint, it's an art and crafts do go together, because it is your capability and your hands and your mind that are working together to make something.
Yeah.
Not everybody works a craft or paints a picture to have a setting in a museum somewhere. A lot of people do it as therapeutic. Some people do it to pass along a family tradition. So there's other reasons to do something besides the fame and the fortune.
As well as money in your pocket. That's a good reason to craft.
But there's other reasons to do it. That's all I'm saying.
And
this is one of the reasons I wanted to give.
And it's like cooking. It's crafting. You're crafting the food. Like, you cut the food and you just make it. It's crafting. Still, you can see that. In painting, you paint a place, you paint anywhere, you paint anything. And yeah, it's like, it's cool. Like, animating movies or shows, it's crafting and art. You're, like, painting the scene, like, not from hand and rollers.
So, Georgia, in your view as a professional in the arts and crafts world, do you think that taking classes would be beneficial to people wanting to get into a certain craft? Or do you think maybe going and doing it on your own and watching videos maybe, or reading books, or the trial and error of doing something is the best way to go? What would be your opinion?
I think that taking classes, especially as a mature crafter, it's also a social activity. You meet other women that are maybe wanting to pick up a new craft. It gives you other women doing this, sharing what they're doing. Most of the time when I'm like the quilting club that I participate in every once in a while, we're all there for the same reason. We're doing a craft. Most of the time it's to give to a family member or someone close to us. And every quilt that I've ever given away, as far as my knowledge, they still have it. And when, like, the baby quilt, and the baby's now 18 years old, that grandma made, they put that up and it becomes an heirloom. That's kind of the reason I got into crafts, was because I want to give something personal to people.
And Evelyn, I know you dabble a little bit in the craft world.
Yeah, just a tiny bit, and we mentioned it in one of our episodes. I fool around with making candles, and I've done the soy candles, done the gel candles. Love them. Call them passé, call them current, call them whatever. It's just fun, but it absolutely is, for me, a therapeutic piece to my day, as well as a fun little gift, and whatever anybody does with it after I've given it to them, whatever. Joy in it for me is the moments where I'm actually creating to see the product in its finished piece.
Yeah.
And I think with the candle, it's a perfect mix of what we talk about with the combination of the words arts and craft.
Right.
Because I've seen your candles. What you do with the design work on the bottom with the sands that you use.
We'll have a link where you can purchase this.
There's an art to it. There's a design to it.
Sure.
Now, the making of the wax, I'm sure, is a craft. The melting or adding of scents or decor into the wax and the pouring and the setting up, that is the craft part. Of course, the artwork is the design that you're putting into the bottom. That's art. It's not just a candle, it's art. But do you find it therapeutic?
Like with my granddaughter, we're making a quilt together. And she calls me on the phone, tells me she needs more material. We're doing a little hexagon one. It's something that she'll have forever. I'm helping her piece it together. She mails the pieces back to me. I mail her more material. It's a way to connect two generations there.
That sounds amazing to be able to share something like that with each other.
Right, exactly. Very cool. And this is something that gives there a reason to have that connection. It's also teaching these younger generation, your grandchildren or nieces and nephews, it's teaching them how to even reach out to you. And it's okay to reach out to grandma to ask a question. Maybe I can ask her a question other than anything about the quilt. It's opening a line of communication.
Bringing inspiration into a child's life, into their mind, that will, I would say, most likely cause them to go, I want to do this with a child or my grandchildren in the future, because it'll be a continuation. And there's nothing more connective than doing something as a mutual. That's just incredible.
It'll be a shared memory, too, when that child is older and goes back to what we were discussing about being a tradition that is handed down from family member to family member. Because of this interaction that you have with your grandchild, now who's to say that 50 years from now, this person is also having that same interaction with a grandchild of their own, a grandniece, a grandnephew. It's a beautiful thing. This shows that another intricacy of how to pass along from family member to family member. It's not just through the talking and the telling of stories.
Like baking cakes, it's an art. Because when you put the icing on, you do a theme, crafting, like you were saying, making blankets and quilts. It's craft and art.
As a younger crafter, do you think it's something that is pretty cool that you know that you may be doing that your grandparents have done at one point, and now here you are doing it as well?
Mm-hmm.
So you brought up baking. Georgia was talking about something she does with her granddaughter. You do something with your grandmother, don't you? You decorate cookies.
Yeah.
You bake, you cook, you decorate.
Yeah.
So that's something that you are learning directly from your grandma.
Yeah.
And you'll remember that because, like, my grandson is 18. I used to have Camp Grandma Day, and it was always a theme. They would come over. We'd start with, if it was car was our theme, we made a little car and painted it. Our meal was all around with racetrack or whatever. The whole day was that theme. Last time I was home at Thanksgiving, he was telling his mom and dad they had a high bar to have Camp Grandma Day when he started having kids, so they're going to remember that and expect their parents to do the same thing, because those memories will stay with you forever and you'll want your parents to be grandparents like that.
Yeah.
So there's two things I can take away from this conversation. One is that arts and crafts are not just about becoming famous. It's about family, about traditions, and passing them along and keeping ideas flowing. The second thing I think we've found out from this is that it is not a government conspiracy. So safe to say that we shouldn't have conspiracy talk on the side webs or in the dark web about arts and crafts, how they're taking over the world in a bad way.
It's also like making cups or glass or clay, anything made out of clay. You play with clay, you make something. Maybe a tiger, maybe a dog, or anything like that. And you can paint it, too. It's also like making glass I saw videos about this. It's interesting because you have to wait till it dries and it's hot, and then they make a glass something. And then I saw one that's a pumpkin with a long vine.
So another thing this also fits into in our conversation, and a theme that we always stress every week, you act local. And the one thing that we do know about the world of arts and crafts is a lot of people sell these things locally. They go to local antique malls, they go to local flea markets, even local shops that are privately owned, small business owned. But this is also a way to help support your local businesses. They do promote local farmers. They promote the local arts and crafts community. We've talked about local farmers a ton of times. We've never really stressed about the local arts and crafts worlds. This is a way that a lot of folks in this country and well, around the world make a living, is selling their products that they make or paint in their local venues. So remember, shop and act local, and you're helping someone out.
And in questioning the narrative, we're throwing arts and crafts in as a sentence that gets used over and over again. I think one of the things we can also take away is an artist isn't necessarily a crafter, and a crafter isn't necessarily an artist.
That's right.
Yeah, it's the same, but they have some differences. When you're a crafter, you don't paint, and sometimes you do, but like you make stuff when you're a crafter. You make stuff like out of clay.
I think a crafter is more, they're going to make it a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, where an artist uses their imagination a whole lot more.
Yeah, it's true. It's like making any, like, clothes. You're sewing it together. It's crafting an art at the same time because you have a red material and someone painted that or made it that red material. And then you build that into a dress or a shirt. Then you put a picture on it. Like pants or anything like that.
Sure, and then you're talking about somebody who is a seamstress versus somebody who's a designer. Now, a seamstress can be a designer can be a seamstress, but a seamstress isn't necessarily a designer, and a designer isn't necessarily a seamstress.
True. They have differences. Like.
So what I'm gathering from this is the world's cross, but there's definitely a difference. But they still go together, or else we wouldn't have the term arts and crafts. They go hand in hand. There are differences, but there are similarities. It's a way for people to express themselves in one form or another, either through their hands and crafting something, or through their imagination through their hands and painting something or designing something. That's my interpretation.
Any last words from our professional crafter?
Go out there and craft.
And we'll be sure to put on a link where you can find some of George's professional crafts. Just a little shout out.
Big shout out.
Big shout out.
Yeah.
Kidvid. Do you have anything that you would like to say to the young people of the world that are listening about arts and crafts?
Make whatever you want. Like paper planes, you can color on them. You don't have to leave them white. And that's what I want.
I love it.
This has been another episode that we've enjoyed bringing to you with our special guests.
Yay, Georgia.
Kidvid.
This is Avalon.
This is Edward.
And this is...
Live.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
This episode has been brought to you by 1 Minute Calm. Breathe, live, and love the moment you're in. Enjoy 1 Minute Calm to experience a deserved moment of peace, serenity, and mindfulness. Smile. You deserve this minute of joy. 1 Minute Calm can be found on all the major social media networks at 1 Minute Calm. Zemoff Entertainment International.